Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the podcast called The Elaborators. This is episode 15, and apparently, yet again, we did not get nominated for any Oscars for this particular show, which we're very upset about. We're very happy with the Oscars that did get handed out to Everything, Everywhere, All at Once, Always, or whatever that film is called. That kind of, you know, I've never even seen the film. It won an Oscar, but it kind of feels like our life here at WBC. You are listening to The Elaborators, which is a podcast of WBC, part of the suite of things that we create, which includes nothing much more than me and Simon just having a chat, really.
That's a bit steep.
Is it?
I think we make a fair bit.
Do we?
Well, yeah, for the people.
I just said suite of things, that's all, so I didn't really have any backup after that.
Sure.
Like, I mean, are you working on a short film for the Oscars?
It feels like it, with Easter Sunday coming up.
Yeah. You go, Easter Sunday short films. Surely yeah. One of them gets an Oscar at some point.
I'd like to hope so.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah.
Actually, I think you could maybe host the Oscars one time.
Me?
Yeah.
Ooh.
Jump up there.
I'll warm it up would my be... slapping hand.
Oh, very nice, very nice. Yeah. Well, no, I was thinking it could be the most sensible Oscars ever. That's all.
Oh.
You know, because
I guess I'm sensible.
Yeah. You witty get up and there
sensible?
And be like,
are they the same thing?
What's that?
Witty and sensible.
Witty and sensible. I don't know. You could be dry. Oh. Dry and sensible.
Hello. Welcome to The Elaborators.
And you win a prize.
Get I sound off. Like the Monsters, Inc. lady.
Back on the Monsters, Inc.
Yeah,
lady.
We're getting off track.
Yeah, we are. Today on the wonderful world of elaborating, we're going to be having a bit of a chat with a guy called Stan. I'm going to play the music again because we haven't seen him for a while. The guy called Stan is in the studio. Woo! G'day, guys.
Guys, I was waiting for the Oscars to start because you're saying that we're not winning any Oscars or anything. Yeah. And Simon said he's getting slap hand ready. And I think that's why we're not getting Oscars, because we're not doing enough slapping around the place here, you know. But honestly, and I watched what y'all did while I was away. And if I'd been here, there'd have been some slapping going on.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, really? Yes.
Oh, my goodness. Anyway, we won't go there yet, but that'll happen in annual review time.
I'm sorry. Let's just stop for a minute.
And hold on.
We'll just
is there
wonder.
A record scratch in there somewhere?
No, I was thinking more this, because that's...
Quick, hit the music.
Okay, all right. Now, we've been talking over the last few weeks about habits, basic habits of getting some spiritual vitality in your life and understanding more of the way you are shaped and the way God has a plan for your life and how you can be a better human, really. And so this week, just the last episode, you heard Karen Gehring, who did an awesome job. Thanks to Karen for being our guest on the previous episode. If you haven't heard that, go back and check that one out, about how she's gone about just living her faith out in really practical ways and sharing it, particularly with her family. It's an amazing story on there. But we thought we'd go a little bit further on that particular topic today, because over the weekend here at WBC, we talked about preparing our stories and being able to tell them as well. Oh, sorry, the wrong button. Doesn't even matter.
That's, and people were just excited about that.
That studio audience again. That happened last week. They're out of control.
But that's the kind of applause you would get if Simon won an Oscar.
Thank you.
That's enough of that.
Yeah.
So we started talking about our stories and what it means to actually share basically what God has done in our lives. And look, for all of you watching and listening, we know that this is one of those challenges that comes up every now and again for you, where you think, my faith feels like a really private thing, and I don't really want to share it. Maybe there's a fear of confrontation. Maybe there's a fear of embarrassment, or even a fear of an argument breaking out. And so, for a lot of people, their faith is very much a real thing, but it's a very private thing. And Stan, over the weekend, we kind of spoke to that a little. What would you say to the person that says, "Hey, look, my faith is private, and I just keep it to myself"?
Yeah, that's a very good question. But almost immediately, there's something inside of me that reacts when you say that my faith is a private thing. I'd be very much more comfortable if you said my faith is a personal thing.
Okay, right.
Because it is very personal. And that's what I think a lot of people get confused about that. And when I hear people's journey, their spiritual journey, I'll ask them, when did you come to faith? Tell me about your spiritual journey. And they'll talk about their heritage, their grandparents who gotcha. Were Christians, or their parents who were Christians, and friends who were Christians and everything. And you'll listen to their whole story and never hear about a place where it became personal for them, where they realized they needed Christ. So it is a very personal thing, but private is different.
Yeah. So if it's personal, then, but you're trying to keep it. Is I feel like faith is one of those things. It's almost impossible to keep completely private, isn't it? Because people would see a difference in you.
It's kind of a contradiction.
Right. Right.
Really, it can't. If you're truly, if you have the Holy Spirit living in you, which now we're getting all weird for people who don't understand all the Christianese and stuff. Mm. But when you accept Christ as your Savior, something happens to you that the Holy Spirit does indwell you. And when that happens, for you to then not live that out and not be different and not have some kind of exhibit your faith in some way, it's just unnatural. It would be, I don't even have words for it.
That's all right. That's why we're elaborating. We're going to try and find some words. So we're talking about the idea that, okay, you have a faith. You have a faith in God. You've accepted the historical Jesus, the miracle of Jesus, the God of the God nature of Jesus. You've accepted that he came, lived amongst us, died for our sins, and was resurrected on the third day.
Yeah.
So already way down the path.
Well, right there. You've done all of that, and that's why you want to keep it private, because you sound like a loon.
There's so many other reasons that I sound strange, but no, you're right. And automatically, you're automatically talking about some sort of supernatural conversation, and it feels very strange. But when it's real, and this is where we talk about our testimony, my testimony of that is this has changed my life. So yes, it's personal in that, yes, my personal world has changed because of my understanding of Jesus. But it shouldn't be private is what we're saying.
Right. I mean, it's my life is the way it is for a reason. Mm. Whether it's about Jesus or not, you know, our life is public. And we can, you know, live as private as we want to, but I look at social media and stuff, and I just see how people express themselves all the time. They put everything out there. Sometimes I wish I could talk to people and say, hey,
just
pull your head in, bring it back. Do you know when you're applying for a job, people are actually looking at your social media accounts and stuff these days? You know,
I'm raising teenagers. I'm saying to them, at some point, an employer is gonna apply for a job, and the first thing they're gonna do is not ring your referees or your references. No. They're just gonna Google you.
yeah. And see, as a person of faith, think about that. Yeah. And this isn't where we were going, but it's fine to be there. Think about social media accounts and stuff as a person of faith. And as a pastor, I'm friends with a lot of people. And sometimes I look at it and say,
hey,
they're in my church. Wow. And they said that, you know, it's like, you know, we actually need to think about some of those things that we're putting out there as a public. And again, that just flies in the face of this whole private conversation, because we're really not that private people. We want people to recognize us, acknowledge us, see us.
Yeah.
And we want to choose what they see of us. That's why you'll take 42 selfies to get the right light and everything to before you post it on social media.
Yeah.
Anyway.
But your point is, we are not actually private people.
No.
For so many reasons. So what is it that makes us go, I want to keep my faith private? What is it that shuts us down, do you think?
I think there's a lot of things. I think it's lack of confidence that we're afraid of what other people will think about that. You know, if we do stuff, if you got other things in your life that you would be ashamed of, people will look down on you for or frown on you. You know, it's sad, but as people of faith, we are sometimes embarrassed about that, because it's frowned on. Society doesn't make it easy.
There's an element of that. But this is my thing, is a lot of times when we're thinking about us as individual Christians, you sort of think, I wouldn't mind sharing maybe my story. But if you connect that to this wider story of that wild, wacky church thing that goes on in the public forum, that scares us. And so we kind of, you're almost trying to pick the type of conversation you want to have. So maybe you don't want to be attached to the latest scandal that's happened in church life, and so you don't want to talk about, I go to church. But I raise kids, you have raised kids, or are you still raising kids? Probably.
Yeah, probably.
But, you know, in my family, it's normal for them to get up of a Sunday, to get out of bed earlier than most kids on a Sunday morning, not only to come and attend a service, but they get here 2 hours early to serve on the cameras and the lights and the kids' bin and all that kind of stuff. So my children are actually growing up with their sense of normal is really kind of wacky comparative to most kids who get up and play soccer on a Sunday morning.
What did you do this weekend?
Yeah, exactly. But for others who want to feel like they want to fit into a streamline, it's sometimes hard to almost admit that that's what you did on a Sunday morning.
Yeah, because it's not mainstream. Mm. You know, only maybe 8% of people in Australia actually go to church on any given weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. So you're definitely in the small minority.
Yeah.
And I think that's, again, we're going to keep it close to ourselves because we don't want to stand out and be different in that way because it's not seen as a positive.
One of the habits we talked about was attending, right? We talked about church as a thing, as a habit of a Christian life. But it's not something that makes you a Christian or not. There's plenty of people out there that would say, I'm a Christian, but I don't do the weekend church thing. You and I would say, come on, guys. Mm-hmm. Let's come on, get into community.
Yeah, I'm into Jesus, but not his church.
Said it flippantly, but it does make a difference when you try and live out your faith in a very diverse community like the church. You know, it suddenly challenges a whole lot of preconceptions, and I think it's a very good habit because it messes with you a bit more. It's not as homogenous as most people would think. But having said that, there's lots of people out there that have a faith, and maybe they're worried about even coming to church as a public expression of it. You would actually say not only should you get involved in a faith community, but you should actually share your story.
That's
a pretty wild claim.
You should share your story outside of that faith community, even. But I would say start by sharing it inside the faith community.
Yeah,
and that's things like public professions of faith through baptism and things like that. That's why we video testimonies in our church to give people that opportunity to share their story. Mm. And we're encouraging people right now to write out their story, to figure out what their story actually is, because I don't think most people have ever taken that opportunity. They may have, when they came to faith, whatever their circumstances were, it was a moment.
Mm-hmm.
And they're happy about that moment, and that moment hopefully changed their life, and their eternity is in a different perspective. But they've never taken the time to really think about what was my life like before that moment, and then how did I come to that moment, and then what's been different since then. So we're encouraging people to explore that. But if you do that inside the church first, it's safer there. But then the real place to do it is out there in your sporting clubs or in your community groups and things like that, when you have that opportunity. And again, you don't want to be aggressive about that and be awkward about that and things, but that's who you are now.
Yeah.
And there's a time and place where it is appropriate to share your story.
When it comes to sharing a story, and you've actually encouraged everybody to write out their story. And it reminds me of, you know, we talked about reading the Bible and writing out our reflections on the Bible a couple of weeks ago. If you were to write your story, do you think it would be an easy thing? Have you ever done that?
No, I have not. And I will probably take up stand on his challenge, I think.
So what was the challenge again?
To do a life before Jesus, the meeting of Jesus and the life after Jesus, a personal testimony in about 100 words.
Okay.
Which isn't easy, I imagine. And I've been filming some baptism testimonies as we've got baptisms coming up, and I'm getting a page of writing in size 10 font.
Mm.
That's about 300 words.
Yeah. Right, which shows the challenge. That's what comes out when somebody tells a story. And what we need to practice is the concise, like, streamlining of that story for the casual conversations.
Yeah.
It's the casual conversations, and you need to be able to express that really in about a minute or even 45 seconds.
All right, you ready?
Because people are going to glaze over after that.
Right.
Okay, so when Stan's preaching, Simon and I try not to glaze over. We do. So, Stan, could you tell us your story pre-meeting and post-Jesus?
On
the podcast right now, if I set a timer. I'm totally putting him on the spot for all those playing along at home. But this sound effect says angels, so I don't know what it does, but
play that at the moment when I came to Christ, right?
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, here is Pastor Stan sharing his story.
Okay, well, in my early days, let me start over, timer-wise.
Oh, okay.
Here, start again.
Here we go.
Hang on.
Okay. You know, before Christ, I was selfish. I was hooked on the bottle. I was behind bars. Spent some time behind bars. That was all before I was two. Right? So, yep.
That's just so terrible. You get a small golf clap for that one. All right. So can we start again? You'd think the preacher, you'd think the pastor would take this seriously, don't you?
That was a good hook, Sam. Get organized. Here we go.
All right. Well, hey, I grew up in what I call a quasi-Christian home where we went to church a lot, but it was hot and cold. Sometimes we'd be out there all the time. Sometimes we'd be there never. And I was already around faith, but I said the sinner's prayer a lot of times growing up because I was scared of going to hell. Mm. But then when I was 17 years old, somebody preached a message that I listened to, and it was talking about having Christ in your head versus having him in your heart.
Right.
And that hit me like a ton of bricks. It's like I knew all the answers because I was a good kid and everything, but I'd never really experienced having Christ in my heart. And that's a Christian word and everything. I hate even saying that, but that's when it became real for me to own my faith. After that, my dreams were all about making a lot of money and everything and having the trophy wife. Oh, that's a bad thing. I can't believe I said that out loud.
Hang on.
Hey, that was 40 years ago. 40 years ago. Okay. That was appropriate back then.
Mic drop.
Anyway, can you edit that out, please?
Sure. No.
Anyway, but my life changed. My passions changed.
Yeah.
But because I realized that it wasn't all about making the money and having the beautiful life and everything. And I just became passionate about serving Jesus. And that's why I'm here today. So, yeah.
Hey, it's a pass, considering the 10-second penalty on that.
10-second penalty.
A minute 20.
The point is that came very simply to you. It's something that is very natural to you to think about. What was my life like before? And again, confessing that you grew up in and around, you've called it quasi-Christian, but essentially, aware of Christianity, aware of this conversation of Jesus. Because it's funny in faith communities when people have grown up in this thing and they think, well, what was my life like before Jesus? I wasn't really aware of one. There's beauty in that story. Absolutely.
Yeah. A lot of people will say that and they'll say, oh, I don't have a, dramatic conversion story or anything. And I say, thank God for that.
Yeah.
That your life was... So you were spared that. That's an even greater expression.
Well, I mean, the guy who wrote half to two-thirds of the New Testament, we don't all have to live like Paul, right? We don't have to stand at the stoning of Timothy to understand.
Stephen. Yeah.
What did I say? Yeah. Timothy was, preacher error. Yeah, that's terrible. That's terrible. But this is the point. We look at some of the historical ones and we go, these stories are so dramatic and so intense. But there's millions and billions of people that just have lived a pretty average life without lightning bolts and stuff, who just their lives are made better. Stan, I thought, as we sort of draw this thing into a bigger thought overall, tell us about a time where you've enjoyed sharing your story. Because the other thought to me is that a lot of people think that sharing your story of faith is like a nervous, scary kind of thing. To me, part of it is when you feel that nudge and when you feel the joy of sharing part of your story, it should actually be something that excites you.
Yeah. It does excite you, but I wouldn't say that it's still not nervous and scary because it's always a risk. Even if you think you're reading the scene right and the person right that you're about to share with, if you think they're ready to receive that, you're still a little bit nervous and anxious about it because it's a supernatural thing. It's a supernatural conversation, and you don't know where that's going to go from there. But most of my experiences recently, in recent years even, has been more responsive to people that are coming to me, because in my life, I've hanging around Christians all the time, so you don't get a lot of opportunities. I make opportunities. I do gridiron officiating and baseball umpiring. I try to play golf with unbelievers rather than believers, but I don't do that often.
Because believers swear more than unbelievers, are right?
Hey, yeah, yeah. No, maybe because I swear more. I don't know. I don't want believers to hear that. Just kidding. Just kidding. Darn it.
Concern it. Hang on. You say whatever you like. I've got this button. And then Stan said, and then I was all like, and then the whole thing went.
That sounds like a pretty standard golf course. Right? Yeah.
That's why they keep the players separated. Oh, otherwise, man. It'd be an all-in brawl on hole one.
No microphones on the tee flags and the golf course.
So, some of the recent ones, even in this last few months, I remember there was a couple I was doing pre-marriage counseling for. They were new to the church, and like their second week here, they asked me to marry them. And I was like, oh, wow, it's okay. And here's how I do it. You got to go through pre-marriage counseling. And you'll actually hear their testimony in a week or two. But they, through that process, quickly I identified, okay, these people are exploring, but they're not they haven't crossed the line of faith yet. They're not following Jesus, so about 2/3 of the way through their premarital counseling, that conversation came up very naturally in one of our sessions, and it just flowed. It was just easy because the time was right, and one of the things that made that happen is we had spent a lot of time together up to that point. That I'd built some trust with them. They respected me as a person because I had loved them. I had engaged with them. I was a real person with them, talking about real life stuff as we're doing premarriage counseling. So they trusted me. I was a person in their life that they had a good enough relationship with to trust. When they said, hey, will you marry us? If I'd said, well, do you follow Jesus yet? And here's the, three simple steps to salvation or whatever. They would have said, you're a freak and we'll go find somebody else to marry us. So it was about the relationship.
Yeah.
Another one I had was just, it was crazy. This person inquired about baptism, and I reached back out to them, and they came in same day. And within 30 minutes, the person had accepted Christ. They were ready to go.
Yeah.
I was just there at the right time.
Yeah. I think that the idea of just being yourself, and I think for any person who's a Christian person, just challenging yourself to be a little braver. To share, because if I say to people, if Jesus has changed your life, chances are he could change somebody else's too.
Yeah.
And so I think, I try and take the project management part of it out of it. So for some personalities, it does work to say, here's a conversation you could have and have it this way. So it shaped me, it's sometimes that thing of the older you get, sometimes the more you overthink what the consequences could be. You might feel like you're going to lose relationship or whatever. But again, trying to just be a blessing to people, just trying to be useful, just trying to be helpful. And again, Paul says, always have an answer for the hope you have, that we have Jesus. And it's not overly complicated to share that Jesus has changed your life when that's actually true.
Yeah, it's good. And I love what you said, you're talking about helping people. And I shared yesterday, if you go back and listen to the podcast, that Jesus' example was actually to ask other people to help him. The woman at the well, he said, give me a drink of water. That let her serve him and added value even to her as a person.
I think most people just want Christians in their world to be better people. Is that a fair enough? Like when you think about, and Simon, I don't know how to phrase this question for you, but you're sort of sitting back there listening to us yabber on. Have you ever felt this push that you've got to share that you're a Christian person, that people ask you what the difference is? Have you ever had that happen to you?
Yeah, I think it's, pardon me, I think just listening to all these conversations, I probably personally get caught up on the doubt and fear of where the conversation would go next.
Right.
Into the political and social complexities of it all that I might not have the answers for at the time. So I could say I work at a church I attend every Sunday, or my family does too, that kind of thing, grew up in a Christian home. And then if they just bust out a conversation of, well, what do you think about this?
Yeah. This social issue or that political
issue.
This
social issue, that's where it's like, ooh, suddenly... Suddenly the ease, and suddenly I'm out of my depth, and I'm like, well, I might just have to get back to you on that one, or that kind of deflection. And you mentioned it in the Sunday sermon about the sharing your faith thing, just that it does challenge me then to grow because then I have to go and figure it out.
Yeah.
Figure out where I'm at with it. And then try and have that follow-up conversation.
So maybe part of the conversation today that we're having is to challenge each one of us that are listening and taking part in this to actually go back and see if you were to be asked the question, what's the difference in your life? As Paul said, when people say to you, what is the hope that you carry? Can you actually answer that question? And when you don't know, are you brave enough to say, I don't know? Because part of it is really just I don't want people to draw me on whether I'm this side of politics or that side of politics or what I think of a particular social issue. I just want to say in my walk, in my day-to-day, Jesus makes a big, big difference. His word speaks to my life. It changes how I feel, literally how I feel about myself and others as I traverse each day. So I think, you know, the keep it simple kind of approach is very wise. Admitting I don't know when you don't know. I was sharing with go.
Yeah, and you don't have to have a position on everything. You know, and that's one thing that I've got one guy in particular that I'm thinking about that I spend some time with. We've actually read the Bible together and things like that. He's not a believer, but every time we talk, it always starts with he follows American news a lot, and it always starts with the evangelical right wing Trump guys and girls and everything, and he starts with the assumption that's where I'm sitting.
Right, because of the accent, maybe, or
he just because I'm a Christian?
Because you're right.
Yeah. So he assumes in his mind that means this, and so I spend so much time digging out from under that
the assumption.
That assumption to say actually you and I think the same about that. I disagree with some of the things that these people are doing and everything, and some of the things that they're saying I don't agree with. You know, so and I do have opinions about all these things. But I don't have to wear those. That's not who I am. I'm not defined by that. I'm defined by I'm a child of God. I love Jesus. And whatever you believe about all those things, Jesus loves you and wants to have a relationship with you.
If you're a person of faith that Jesus has changed your life, then why not prepare yourself to share?
That's the power of the story too, that you can say, I don't know that, but I do know what happened to me.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And that's the critical part of knowing the story, because there's no rebuttal to that.
Exactly. The blind man that Jesus healed said, I don't know if Jesus is a sinner.
Mm-hmm.
I just know I was blind and now I can see. Is that simple?
The beautiful thing about that testimony is he literally hadn't seen Jesus. He goes, I don't know, I can see now. So that's kind of cool. Look, I hope that part of this conversation, all of this conversation has been useful. If you have any questions for us, don't ask me, ask Pastor Stan, because he knows the answers.
Yeah, don't ask about the bits that I ask you to cut out that you're not going to cut out, though. I'm not answering questions about that.
Hey, we think sharing your habit is a really good habit. Sharing your habits.
Sure.
Do you know what I've been trying to do?
Oh, here we go.
I've got a bad habit of biting my nails.
Yep.
And this whole time, I've been trying not to bite my nails on camera. Okay. So as soon as this podcast is over, I'm going to have to bite my nails several times.
There you go. So that's not private.
No.
All personal, is it?
No, that's just an annoying, gross habit.
Yeah.
It's an annoying, gross habit.
What a way to go out.
You can keep that private.
Yeah. Keep that private?
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen. What's that on the floor? I'm just going to start handing out floss for everybody so that we can all just, you know.
Like a business card.
Yeah, friends who floss together stick together. Is that a thing? We're going to elaborate on that some more next week. Pastor Stan and Richie in the house, thanks for being part of the Elaborators today.
No worries.
Producer Simon, you're a beautiful man. We love you despite all of your bad habits.
Tell me what, the studio audience has gone rogue again.
Oh, they are.
They fall asleep. There they are.
Thank you, studio audience. Thank you to everybody being part of the Elaborators. And we will catch you next week whenever you listen to the podcast, but there'll be another one shortly after this one. Go back and check out the rest of them. Peace be with you as we do a dance.